It's fun to be inquisitive. Be nosy. Stick to your passion. Find out more for yourself. Quest is fun. Join me, Tristan Pang, on a journey of inspiration. Welcome to Youth Voices.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to my show. This is your host, Tristan Pang, on Planet FM 104.6, Youth Voices. In today's show, we'll continue our chat with Alex Radley. So, here we go.
Let's talk.
I started the second part of the interview by asking Alex to tell us how he manages his time with all his works and interests.
So growing up, naturally I was quite easily distracted. I get very interested in things early on, so I'm very good at starting a lot of things. You know, like I can go and start surfing and then pick up freediving and go skiing and run track and go to the gym and go to the work, and I love it all. Naturally, there's only 24 hours in the day. I'm getting better at prioritising and thinking, you know, what's the best. But basically, I quite like loading myself up. And then, you know, when you've got a lot on your plate, basically the things that are most important to you are the ones you end up doing, and you just sort of have to ease off and the things that you don't have so much time for.
Yeah, exactly. Now, tell us about your current job at Crimson Education. It sounds very interesting.
Sure. So Crimson Education is a very interesting company. It's got goals and ambitions which are very aligned with myself. Basically, it is a company that is trying to break down the barriers for top quality education and the kind of longer standing impact of that, of really high quality education is a higher quality of life going forward. And, you know, across, you know, working in business and my passion for education and also a growing passion to give back to the next generation, I'm getting a chance to start experiencing that and to start sort of changing people's lives. For this Crimson Education to grow and to, you know, continue to reduce these barriers on a global level, I'm part of a team in which we are trying to successfully expand the business overseas, and basically that's ensuring that all the operating side of the business can continue into different countries and into different cities, and I'm really enjoying it.
Well, that's great. So, what are some of the favourite things that you have ever done, say, sports, career or otherwise?
Yeah, sure. It's always a tricky one. Basically, I've had a lot of, you know, really good results and achieved a lot of things over the past, you know, whether it be sporting or you know, academic or work achievements. But I think when you're really busy with all that stuff, what really makes... or, you know, the most favourite things are the times you spend with mates on really good trips. I've had over the years a number of good, you know, surf trips and, you know, particularly ski trips with some friends, and, you know, you just go away and have a big road trip to the mountain and spend time with mates, listening to good music and just having a good time, and I still think some of those are the best memories.
Definitely. And I also saw that you worked in the hospital for a few years. How was it? What experiences did you have?
Sure. going on from, you know, being involved with a medical family, I had an opportunity to sort of work in a hospital. I was an orderly, which is essentially someone that just helps, again, the hospital run. It might be taking patients down to surgery or to x-ray, transferring patient notes, and a whole lot of various other things. I found it very humbling to be involved in a hospital. A lot of the people there are sort of not well and they're sort of bed-stricken. So as a young person, it's very humbling, or it motivates you strongly to go out there and really make the most of your sort of active years and live a really exciting life. I mean, some of the more... you know, tougher things to deal with was, you know, into the morgue, and I mean, sort of, you know, lowered people into a coffin and saw sort of, you know, dead bodies and stuff, and you just think, like, you know, eventually it's going to be me, so I've got to go out there and live a really good life.
Yeah, and just
ties in quite well with the last question. What advice do you have for other young people?
Yeah, sure. So don't want to paint a grim picture. There's lots of great things to go out there. But I basically think what's sort of most important is that you're sort of proactively using your time wisely. Now, sometimes you sort of get into situations where you can't really change what you're doing. You know, you might be at high school and you might not want to be at high school. But another really good quote, I think, which helps this one out, was one from Oprah Winfrey, and she once said that, you know, you do what you have to do until you can do what you want to do. As part of, you know, being proactive and you know, really using your time wisely on things that are important to you, there will be times where you sort of have to suck it up and work hard and push through, but basically making sure that you're doing that for a good reason and using your time wisely. And I mean, if I was a young person, you know, in high school, it's very tough, but you know, going along and studying and applying yourself in school is very important. For a couple of reasons. One, I mean, if you spend, you know, better part of 20 years of your life, you know, getting an education, you really want to make sure that, you know, if you're spending that time, you're getting good, you know, outcomes from that. And I particularly think, you know, you really want to develop a strong sense of maths and English, primarily, two core subjects. And I mean, if... the way I like to look at that sort of education space is it's very tricky to sort of catch up when you're sort of behind. And one, you know, one couple of ways you can do that is if you haven't had, say, a good year in, say, algebra, you know, there's opportunity over the summer break to spend a bit of time relearning that stuff, because, you know, the next year you'll be doing the same subjects, and I mean, if you didn't learn it last year, it's very hard to do the next level up the year after, and that basically just means that you're not using that time wisely to learn those skills. And also, you know, for some people, tutoring can be very helpful as well.
Totally agree with all that. Very well said.
Yeah.
And yeah, thanks for coming onto my show, Alex.
No worries.
I would like to share with you a very interesting video I watched recently about emergence, published by Kurtz Gazette in a nutshell.
An ant is pretty stupid. It doesn't have much of a brain, no will, no plan. And yet, many ants together are smart. An ant colony can construct complex structures. Some colonies keep farms of fungi. Others take care of cattle. They can wage war or defend themselves. How is this possible? How can a bunch of stupid things do smart things together? This phenomenon is called emergence, and it's one of the most fascinating and mysterious features of our universe. In a nutshell, it describes small things forming bigger things that have different properties than the sum of their parts. Emergence is complexity arising from simplicity, and emergence is everywhere. Water has vastly different properties to the molecules that make it up, like the concept of wetness. Take wet fabric. If you zoom in far enough, there is no wetness. There are just molecules sitting in the spaces between the atoms of the cloth. Wetness is an emerging property of water. Something new, only created by a lot of individual interactions between water molecules. And this is sort of it. Many things interact under a certain set of rules, creating something above and beyond themselves. It turns out that more is different. This different property is itself a new thing, and that new thing can couple with other new things to repeat the process. You can imagine this as layers stacked upon each other, every layer made from more complex parts. Atoms form molecules. Molecules form proteins. Proteins make up cells. Cells make up organs. Organs form individuals. Individuals form societies. But how can something be more than the sum of its parts? How do ants form the sort of cloudy entity that is a colony? By following a rule set that produces order through chaos. For example, let's look at how an ant colony distributes jobs. Let's assume that a colony should have 25% workers, 25% caretakers, 25% soldiers, and 25% gatherers. Ants communicate their current job via chemicals. For example, a worker ant constantly secretes chemicals that say, "I'm a worker." When ants meet other ants, they smell each other to gather information, telling each other their job and what they're doing. Both keep track of who they met in the past. Now, imagine an anteater kills most of the gatherers. If this isn't fixed quickly, the colony will starve. Many worker ants need to switch jobs, but how do you tell this to thousands of them? Simple. You don't. Our worker ant will still meet and smell other ants, but it will encounter almost no gatherers at all. It counts too few gatherers until it reaches a critical point, and then it changes its job. The worker becomes a gatherer. Other ants will do the same until after a while there are enough gatherers again. The balance is restored all by itself. The actions and interactions of an individual are random. You can't plan which ant will encounter which other ant. But the simple set of rules is so elegant that a colony's many operations emerge as a consequence. On an even more fundamental level, hundreds of millions of complicated molecules interact to maintain a robust and amazing structure. A being with vastly different properties than the sum of its dead parts emerges. The smallest unit of life, a cell. We still don't have a clear definition of what living things are, we just know they emerge from things that are not alive. Cells combine and cooperate. They specialize and respond to one another, and over time, we develop into complex organisms with remarkable capacities. Your arms and legs and heart are an incredibly complex and complicated system made of trillions of individual stupid things. And yet we breathe, digest, and watch YouTube videos. How do your cells know what to do? Think of the pacemaker cells in your heart. Billions of them need to send out an impulse just at the right moment to collectively create a heartbeat. Our cells exchange chemical information with their neighbor cells to see what they're up to and then decide what to do. If it's among a lot of cells that are working on the same task, it will start working on that task as well and sync up with them. There is no mastermind giving commands, just single units communicating with their neighbors and acting according to the feedback they get. Some things that emerge are hard to define. You can't touch an ant colony, only its parts. It has neither brain, nor face, nor body. And yet the colony interacts with the world. Just like colonies emerge from ants, things emerge from humans, like nations. What actually is a nation? Is it its population? Is it its institutions? Its symbols like its flag, colors, or anthems? The physical things it makes like cities? The territory it occupies? All of these things are fluid. Populations change and are replaced. Institutions come and go. Cities can be constructed and abandoned. Borders have changed all the time for most of history. And symbols get replaced by new symbols. A nation has no face, no brain, no body. Are nations not real then? Of course they are. Just like ant colonies, nations interact with the world. They can change landscapes, wage wars, grow or decline, and they can stop existing. But they only exist because of a lot of humans interacting with each other. But not just nations. All the complex structures that surround us emerge from us. Even if we don't intend to, we are constantly creating communities, companies, cities, societies. All of these things are entities that have fundamentally different properties and abilities than the pretty stupid apes they emerged from. We don't know why any of this happens. We just observe it, and it seems to be a fundamental property of our universe. It may be the most beautiful and wondrous property of our universe.
So, that's it from me. Thanks for listening. Please email me at youthvoicesnz@gmail.com and visit my website www.questisfun.org.nz. That's QUEST-IS-FUN.org.nz. See you next month. Bye. Join me again for another exciting program next month on the first Wednesday at 2:10 p.m. or listen anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/youthvoices or listen to the archive on my website www.questisfun.org.nz/youthvoices.
Youth Voices.